Don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Get structured and innovative financing solutions for business growth. Search NetBank Bigger Picture Business Banking.
Send in a VAT return just one day late and you're immediately penalized by 10%. But SARS has been withholding VAT returns owed to taxpayers for, in some cases, years now. But a recent High Court judgment has been handed down against SARS in this highly contentious area of VAT refund withholding by the receiver. The practice is particularly pernicious in the prevailing business environment where many companies have seen cash flow dry up due to COVID restrictions and even faced insolvency on the back of this. The High Court has now provided much needed certainty as to how SARS should behave in a very vague and very technical area of the law. We're joined now by Professor Thabo Lekhwala, the Chief Executive Officer of the Office of the Tax Ombud, Ernie Lai King, who's head of One Road Consulting, who successfully acted for the taxpayer in the urgent application in the High Court and SARS subsequent application to appeal, and Keith Engel, Chief Executive of the South African Institute of Tax Practitioners, our three wise men in the room today. Thabo, this VAT refund issue first surfaced several years ago. In fact, we recently heard testimony at the Zondo Commission that it was something of a deliberate strategy employed to massage the tax figures under the previous commissioner. Just what's the background, firstly, set the table for us to this long-running saga?
Yeah, thank you very much, Michael, for that introduction. Obviously, this is a very, very touchy subject. It's a subject that really concerns a lot of taxpayers. The background to this, really, it's something that has been happening for a very long time. There is anecdotal evidence or talk that SARS does that deliberately in order to make their numbers look good, especially towards end of their financial year. A lot could be said about that. But then the point there is that prevalent as it is, or it might not actually be, you know, whether it's prevalent or not, the concern that we really, really have about this issue is that the result of this activity or this decision-making by SARS is very drastic. There is quite a number of cases. I mean, the case that we're dealing with, the Rapid Resources case, we're talking about billions, and very few businesses can survive when faced with such a travesty of justice. But that's not only it. I mean, in the OTO's Fairness for All publication of November last year, we also showcased another case where SARS withheld amounts or refunds from taxpayers. And what we did, as the taxpayer approached the Office of the Tax Ombud, and what we did was that we ordered the SARS to actually refund the taxpayer with interest as well. So you could see that not only is this bad for the economy, bad for tax administration, bad for the reputation of SARS, but it is also very not good for taxpayers. It also keeps some money out of the economy. It is drastic for businesses. Yes, thank you very much.
And especially at this time when we know cash flow is under such pressure due to the decline in normal business transactions across the board, no matter what sector you're in. Keith, I want to bring you in, and the crisp question is, how is it possible that SARS could even justify in the state capture era the withholding of some 20 billion rands worth of VAT refunds due to taxpayers?
So look, we've gone through the Manana era. I think we've improved a lot since then. But yes, we have a problem, a long-standing problem of stickiness when it comes to VAT refunds. And as Thabo said, it goes way back. And I think there's a structural problem here. And the structural problem is SARS is not really an institution that's comfortable giving back money. That's the way all revenue authorities are. They need to take money and collect. It's against their natural grain. So part of the problem we're having with VAT is actually structural. Now, most people don't understand what we're talking about when we talk about VAT refunds. The VAT system is designed to be an advanced sales tax. As an advanced sales tax, the only time you should really be paying tax is when you and I go to the shop, and our money that we pay to Checkers or to Woolworths or Pick and Pay, that's the money that belongs to SARS at final consumption. What happens with the VAT, though, is in order to protect the base, the way the system was designed is that everybody pays VAT, but but then they get it back at the end of the month if it's a business buying from the business. So Pick and Pay retailer buying from Pick and Pay distributor, he's paying the money only to get it back at the end of the month, and it should never stay. And the reason why is all of that money flowing through the system, if it stays, has a massive negative effect on the economy. It's only a tracing mechanism. So the payment refund mechanism is simply to trace. And that money really that SARS is holding is in trust for the taxpayer. But the way the systems work, because they're cash basis, they can't distinguish the money in trust that they shouldn't hold versus the final money. And then everything gets jammed up. And this is a problem not just in South Africa, but it goes all the way through Africa. And I think there's been some studies that you see this going throughout. And the problem is that's where the issue is. And that's why the VAT refunds are unique, because it really isn't SARS's money to begin with.
Ernie, let's just, before we talk about the minutiae of the court case, talk about the potential threat to taxpayers and the broader economy of an unchecked SARS here in an environment where the state is suffering its own cash flow problems and the economic recession.
Michael, certainly, the Mayani era certainly sounded a warning of what can happen when SARS, with its enormous powers, overreaches those powers and renders the taxpayer literally powerless. Literally. I do not overstate the position. Just one correction, Michael. I consulted to the firm Gerard Haywood, who were the attorneys on record. They acted for the taxpayer. But without going into details of that particular case, let's just look at the principles. The Mayani era, where the VAT refunds were withheld to the detriment of the economy, and was acknowledged by Minister Imbeweni that it did do a lot of harm, and the tax ombud criticized SARS. SARS just ignored the ombud, really. I mean, the parliamentary report was simply ignored. So we have a judgment now that SARS cannot afford to ignore. And what was SARS's interpretation of the VAT Act that allowed the withholding, the unfair withholding of VAT to take place? And very briefly, SARS's interpretation is as follows. When you undergo a VAT audit, there is no deadline. They can carry on that audit for 6 months, 18 months, 24 months. You cannot demand of SARS that they finish the VAT audit within a reasonable time. All the while, SARS is withholding the VAT refund. SARS, in the court case, repeatedly refused to answer the judge when the judge said, "What is the deadline?" Eventually, they eventually had to answer in a reasonable fashion, and they were ordered there by the judge to finish the audit within a month or two of that court case. Another point that SARS takes is there is an automatic stopper. It's not a discretion that's exercised by SARS to withhold refunds. It's an automatic stopper that the refunds are withheld. And the implications of that is that SARS is saying is there is no discretion that they exercise, and therefore you cannot take them to the High Court to review that discretion. It's an automatic stopper. Thirdly, SARS says there is no possibility of a part refund. If they withhold $1 billion, $2 billion, $3 billion, they can't refund part of it. They can only refund all or nothing, and you then have to provide security for everything. They also continue to withhold future refunds by rolling out the audits, and they continually request information, and the ombud will tell you they do it every 21 days so that the interest clock stops running. So the judgment now says, SARS, you cannot continue. SARS lost on all those points. That there is no such thing that you can carry on forever. There is no such thing as an automatic stopper. There is no such thing as a part refund. And you can't continue to withhold future refunds unreasonably. SARS appealed, or applied to appeal, and the appeal was overturned. But although we won the battle, the war is not over. And I'll explain further, if you wish me to, because the taxpayer can still at the end of winning the battle, still lose the war.
And we'll come back to that, Ernie. Thabo, I just want to maybe go back a little bit to what the Office of the Ombud actually suggested in terms of a remedy, because the complaint obviously here is that SARS auditors keep these audits pending while repeatedly requesting information from taxpayers, and it's this indefinite extension that can really cause a business great harm, even to force it to close its doors. What did the Ombud report suggest to remedy the situation?
Right. Thank you very much, Michael, for that. You see, the point there is, once this issue came up, our office approached the SARS, obviously, and had discussions about this. The stopper that Annie is talking about was raised with the office, and we found that it would be unreasonable for the SARS to have such an automatic stopper. And SARS confirmed with us that they had removed that stopper. I'm just really concerned that Annie says that it was an issue in this case. It shouldn't have been. But, I mean, the SARS lost on that, as Annie has stated. But now, what concerns us is that without the stopper, once these audits are undertaken, somebody at the SARS makes a decision in to not pay the refund. And it is concerning. It is concerning that somebody would make that decision. And we know that this would not be a junior staff member at the SARS. It needs to be done by somebody quite senior to the SARS. So, I mean, in my discussion with our head of legal, Gert van Heerden, this morning, I said to him that, look, maybe there's an issue here. The fact that we had, as I stated before, a case that we dealt with internally where we ordered the SARS to refund the taxpayer, and then sometime later there is now this issue also that comes up in the case that we're dealing with Rapa Resources. It means that there could be a systemic issue again in terms of which refunds are withheld. And I mean, also when you go into the legal interpretation of when is a refund supposed to be withheld, or when can a refund be withheld? When you read the legal, the law, Tax Administration Act, it talks really about a refund that is under audit. It needs to be that particular refund that is under audit. The most disheartening thing about this is that how these audits come up sometimes is, and it's very similar, the case that I'm talking about that we dealt with in the tax office and the Rapa Resources Cross, it's very, very much the same. A taxpayer complains to say, you need to refund me, and then SARS then issues an audit letter. I mean, that is a systemic problem. It seems like it's something that is done over and over again. And it needs to be corrected.
There was a recent High Court ruling which has helped provide some clarity, but to Ernie Lyking's point earlier, the battle may be won, the war far from over. Before we get to that particular point, there was something raised before the break, Keith, that I think is rather important. For SARS to go and raise an audit after taxpayer demands the refund seems to be a systemic issue around due process and the order of events here. Surely that cannot be legally justifiable.
I'm not sure if it's, there's justifiable and there's legal. Let's separate justifiable from legal for a moment. But I think the key here first is what they're talking about and they're raising is the stopper issue. One of the problems that SARS is having is that SARS has limited skills and limited capacity. And the stopper works like this. You don't put on the stopper. The stoppers are automatic. So certain refunds just stop. And in order to get your money, you then have to go get a SARS person to release it. It's not that an auditor stops it. The computer stops it, and then you have to open it up. So what you find is a lot of people, for instance, the stopper might say anything above 100,000 is stopped, okay, which is fine in some cases because that could be a risk. But their stoppers are risk engines. So they have risk engines where the computer just stops everything and then the taxpayer has to go pursue. Then the next step is maybe you ask the SARS person asks for information. The moment they ask for information, the stopper automatically goes on again. So the stoppers go on automatically and then manually they have to come off. And the difficulty that SARS is having is these stoppers or the whatever form they are, it's because SARS can't properly identify the risk. So either they choose a number that's too high and they think it's out of line, not based on the actual taxpayer, but just based on an aggregate number. Or what they do is oftentimes they don't like an area. So what the Ernie area was, gold. All of a sudden they have a problem in gold, so whoever is associated with gold, everything gets stopped. That's it, boom, because they need to control it. And they're not able to pinpoint where the exact problem is, and then because they're worried, they stick things, and they stick and stick and stick, and then you have a problem here because they're scared. And I think that's what a lot of the difficulty is.
But surely they have to demonstrate that they are suspicious of some kind of unlawful activity. I mean, what causes that stopper to go on? Surely it can't just be every transaction above a certain amount in a particular sector. What onus here rests on SARS to demonstrate that it was reasonably suspicious and had cause to place the stopper?
Is that for me?
Oh, Ernie, yep.
Michael, it's very clear that the particular section in the VAT Act, and the judge agreed, that a discretion and an application of the mind by SARS has to be made. There's no such thing as an automatic stopper. But Keith has hit the nail on the head. Over the past 24 months, there's been a palpable decline in the competency at SARS. It really has been very worrying. And what has happened is, as a result of that decline in the competency, which Keith has very eloquently explained. Now, the problem that we have is the enormous powers that SARS enjoy can be overreached, and in this particular case, there is. I just want to add that SARS performs a very important job. They have to collect the tax, and the tax is the petrol that makes the country run. But they have such enormous powers that when it's improperly applied, the taxpayer is literally powerless unless they resort to the courts, which means costs, which means effort, and it means time. Mm-hmm. Now, all your VAT refunds are withheld. Now, I just want to add that sometimes SARS does not even give you an official audit notification. Once you So you're under audit for February, March, then April, May, June, they give you an audit notification. July, August, September, you just don't get VAT. And then you approach SARS and you say, what are you doing? Why? Where's my VAT? And then they give you an audit notification. Now, the court's completely unacceptable. You can't behave like that. You're an August and you have to behave in a reasonable fashion. Now, we might come back to the war, you know, the battle is won, but the war's not over. Is as a result of this ruling, as a result of this judgment, SARS cannot carry on a never basis 24 months while you're waiting for the audit result. They will be forced to conclude their audit, and they will issue a letter of findings, and they will give you an assessment. And that assessment is going to be based, more likely than not, just purely on suspicion. Now, the problem is, in order to challenge that assessment, you are into the legal process. That can take up to 5 years, believe me, up to 5 years to resolve. If you're waiting for 5 years for your VAT refunds, you might as well just close your doors. So the taxpayer is literally powerless, and this simply is not sustainable. And if necessary, we'll have to take this up to Parliament, because this is not healthy. This is affecting mainly the export industry. A lot of those export industries bring in hard currency, and a lot of those export industries are owned by foreign direct investors. This has to be, there must be some compromise, some reason here.
And what changes, Ernie, to stay with you, are you proposing to the Act? Because clearly it is an interpretation also of the way the Act is drafted that would provide further clarity and less ambiguity.
Michael, when you're looking at, say, tax audits, income tax audits, etc., there is always some kind of moderating mechanism. So, for example, there's always, you know, there's this policy of pay now, argue later, but you then do have, in terms of the law, a section that allows you to apply for the waiver of pay now, argue later. Because of the way VAT is structured, that you have no possibility of that, because they are withholding your VAT refunds. They're not paying you what is due. So what do you do? You can't apply for somebody to to waive a planar argulator because they're holding your money. And then they come back and they say, well, that's an automatic stopper. And it's, and we can carry on as long as we want. You just be patient. We'll get around to doing it. But there needs to be a moderation, because absolute power is not a good thing. And we are dealing here with taxpayers who, unless they have the resources, financial resources, and the capability to go to court, the taxpayer is totally powerless. SARS acts as judge, jury, executioner.
And let's face it, not all taxpayers are like Dave King in many respects. Yeah, Thabo, what are you doing in terms of the Office of the Tax Ombud? Because you've issued these reports before the judgments. SARS seem to just largely ignore the reports, sadly. And there is a big question mark about what your office can do in the face of SARS just ignoring these recommendations.
Yeah, thank you very much, Michael. And you know what Eddie says is right. I mean, there's a huge cost involved here. I mean, legal costs are quite astronomical when you think about challenging things like this, and that just disadvantages the business any more further. What our office does, I mean, as you would know, we offer a free service to taxpayers. Like I said, we assisted another taxpayer on a very, very starkly similar issue where we resolved it in favor of taxpayer, and that would be for the taxpayer. So that is what our office does for taxpayers. And I would urge and I would encourage taxpayers that they have the same kind of situation to approach our office, and then we would help them in that regard. Now, how do we deal with the situation where the SARS just simply ignores what our recommendations are? We have an avenue to report this to the minister, and I would promise that this is one of those that we will raise with the minister to understand exactly what is supposed to be done and what the stance is not doing. So that is one of the things that we have. You know, the powers of the OTO are also kind of limited by the TAA, and I think that just broadly, to go back to the question that you asked to Annie as to what needs to be done, legislation needs to be clear, and legislation needs to have our deadlines. You cannot just have an open-ended audit. I think that that's one of the areas of improvement for the TAA. But then the other thing that is very important, and that goes back to what Keith and Annie alluded to the skills base at the SARS. Point is, you can have a good piece of legislation, but if the tax administrator has potential or tends to misinterpret that law, you have a problem. Like I said, one of the biggest issues that I have in this regard is with regards to what refunds can be withheld. It needs to be the refund that is audited. So SARS cannot willy-nilly or should not actually withhold refunds on periods that are not necessarily being audited. Or worse of all, only notify the taxpayer or only institute an audit once the taxpayer requests the refund. So there's two things. Law needs to be clear. Two, tax administrator needs to interpret it correctly.
And as your office is there as this bridge, as conduit between SARS and the taxpayer, have you instituted any formal discussions between SARS, the finance minister or treasury, and your office to try and resolve this impasse, to suggest perhaps a relook at the legislation to ensure there are greater checks and balances?
Right, so we do suggest legislative changes as and when it's necessary to improve the tax administration. So we have had many conversations with the SARS about legislative changes in general, not necessarily particularly about this, because this seems to be, for me, a seriously emerging issue that we are mandated by legislation to investigate and resolve for the goodness of our tax administration. So it is definitely one of those issues that we should look into urgently. And as I said, it's a conversation that I've already started having with our head of legal.
Well, it's encouraging to hear. We did invite SARS onto the show, so we'll be following up with them. I think there was a clash of diaries. Keith, from your vantage point, we've got about a minute left, and a lot of this does hinge on capacity, to Thabo's point, inside the receiver. What have you seen on that front in the last 24 months? We know Commissioner Keyswetter was faced with a daunting challenge in rebuilding a very hollowed out state institution. Are we getting anywhere? It doesn't sound like too much is happening. And you just have a look at what happened with Flash recently and how frustrated taxpayers are with the way that bit of IT was dealt with. There's not a lot of confidence.
Great. Look, I would, to be fair to SARS, we're a lot better off than now that the Magnani era is over. So the horror show that was going on at that time has definitely died down and things have improved. I think what you're beginning to sense and you're beginning to get word of again is that the old pattern is coming back, that as we move toward targets at the end of March, we find that things are getting a little bit more sticky. And to some extent, there's some issues about revenue and all of that. So there is some issues, and they keep coming back where old habits never die, where this keeps coming back up. And I think this is where we go back to the issue of where you really need a bit of legislative change so that you can't automatically stop on suspicion. There has to be a reason to put a stopper in and some sort of threshold so it isn't automatic. The problem we have is that when we go to Parliament on a number of these issues, really, we don't get much traction, that there's a little bit of this and that, and what we never really get these issues debated in Parliament. And SARS, if they want to change the act in their favor, it just goes through. And so there's a lot of frustration about that. The act is one-sided. Even there, I think some would argue they even go beyond that. But I think it's beginning to be a bit more of a problem again. It's not as bad as it was, but it is an issue, and it will continue to be an issue because it's difficult for SARS to just let that money go. And they're doing it out of a lack of capacity and fear. But I do think we need a bit of a legislative change here. We need to know that Parliament is actually going to listen enough to tell SARS the law is going to be changed in a more fair way. And right now we haven't seen that.
Well, unfortunately, the war is still being waged, even though the battle was won, to Ernie Lai King's earlier point. That was Professor Keith Engel, who is CEO of the South African Institute of Tax Professionals, Professor Thabo Lekwalia, CEO of the Office of the Tax Ombud, and Ernie Lai King, head of One Road Consulting, talking about the issue of VAT refunds and the urgent need for legislative change in order to ensure that the seemingly unfettered power of SARS when it comes to withholding VAT refunds is constrained for the better of the economy and South Africa's exporting taxpayers in particular.
Don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Experience growth through cross-border trade. Search NetBank Bigger Picture Business Banking